One thing that I'm stunned by all the time is watching people do incredible things and make them look like they're casual, right? So whether it's an athlete or an artist or whoever it is that does something, and they do something that to you would be impossible, but they make it look so easy. Don't you love watching that? Don't you watching things like that where you just, I could never do that, but this is incredible that this person can do that. One of my favorite moments where this happened, it was at one of our first karate tournaments. And there was the black belt division was first, right? Which I think was kind of unfair, because how do you start with them and end with us? Right, but in the black belt division, there was this one girl who was national champ at the time. And she's fighting another black belt. She does this reverse kick, kicks the girl in the temple, right? And the girl starts to fall. And she realizes what she's done. And she catches her and puts her on the ground. Right? This is like split second stuff, right? Even the way she put her down, from speed to, oh, go to sleep now, right? But it's just so incredible. And I watched that, and all of us who are now, we're getting ready to fight as well, and we're looking at each other, we're like, it's good to dream. But I want, as I think about my faith and sharing my faith, I want to get really good at sharing my faith. I want it to become something that comes so easily. I don't know about you, but I will still stutter and trip over my words all the time as I share my faith. And as I look at Jesus, and of course Jesus does it perfectly, but as I look at someone like Paul present arguments, I said, I want to be like that. I want to get to that. I want to get to a place where I can easily have a God conversation with someone. I'd love to get to the place where someone says something and I know what to say. It's like, oh, what? You have that question? I have the answer right here. Or someone is about to go off chasing a rabbit and I bring us back without him even noticing, right? I would love that. We often look at people who can do things like this and we think, sometimes we're deceived because they've made it look so easy. You think, oh, I could do that, right? But behind the people who have done things, who can do things like this, is so much practice, right? This lady who did the knockout kick and then the gently putting the girl to sleep, she had been training since she was 7 years old and had been competing since she was 11, right? And at the time that she did this incredible feat, she was 19. Right? Years and years and years. Right? The Bruce Lee quote rang in my head, don't fear the man who knows 1,000 kicks. Fear the man who has practiced one kick 1,000 times. I think it's 10,000 actually. Right? But that rang true. I knew like that move was so well executed. I know this is tons of practice over and over and over again. When it comes to things like sharing our faith, I think getting to a place where we're excited about sharing our faith and getting to a place where we can easily share our faith in the same way will take effort. And when I'm saying that, I'm not saying that we rely on ourselves. No, we still trust the Holy Spirit every single time, but God rewards our diligence, right? I feel like as I practice these things, I'm giving the Holy Spirit more to work with, right? Like every now and then, I'll say something that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind. It's like, yeah, I read that. I studied that. As we go to Romans, the attitude of Paul is incredible. He says in Romans 1 verse 15, so I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. Read that again. So I'm eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news. He says he is eager, right? And sometimes our English words don't capture, right, just what the Greek is saying here. Eager is a word in the Greek is prothymom, and it means eager, ready, and impassioned, right? It indicates a readiness and an enthusiasm for something. Paul is saying, I am eager, I'm ready, and I'm filled with passion for this task of sharing the gospel with you. I realize I need to be like that too. I need to come to a place where I'm eager, where I'm ready all the time, and I'm filled with passion as the opportunities to share my faith come along, right? I need to have that kind of a desire to share Jesus with others. And I think about the life of Paul, and Gail just read just an incredible passage from Paul this morning, as he just expresses like how much he wishes people would understand how high and wide and deep is the love of God. But this enthusiasm that he had, like Paul had an incredible enthusiasm. There's times in Acts where he wants to go somewhere. He's so excited to go somewhere, but God says, okay, that's not the plan. Just come back here, right? I don't think I've ever been stopped by God. Like, oh, I want to go share with that person. And God says, no, don't share with that person, right? And I'm not at that level yet, but I desire to be. And I wonder, where does that kind of a desire come from? Well, first, I think it has to come from a deep personal relationship with Christ, a deep love for Christ and a deep love for what Christ is doing in my life, right? The biggest part of the desire to share Christ comes from our own experience with him, right? All of us have something that we know very well. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's facts about random things that if someone asks you at any time of the day, you could spit them out like this, right? I always say with my interests, if someone comes and asks me about my interests and I'm feeling particularly energetic, I will say, listen, I don't think you're ready for the depth I'm about to take you on this subject. I think you might want to calm down on this. How much do you like guitar? Right, tell me about guitars 2 hours later, right? Because I have this passion for it. If we know something, if we love something, it's easy for us to talk about it. So often when I don't want to share my faith, I look back at my walk with Jesus. Jesus, am I excited about you? Am I loving you like that? In 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, it says this. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience, even with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Right, this is someone who understands what Jesus has done in his life. And he's saying, Jesus did this for me. He saved me, the worst of sinners. Right? And there are other parts of scripture where he details all that he did, right? That he was a murderer and an enslaver of Christians, right? He was a destroyer of the faith. And he says, but God saved me. And then said, you will be my witness to the Gentiles. And I want you to carry my message out there. I think of how much passion he had to speak with to convince the first people he came across who knew this is the killer, right? And now he's talking about Christ. He actually had other disciples who had to come and say, no, he's safe now, we promise. He's good, he's really for Christ now. But he understood this. And Paul, as he speaks, as you read the letters, you see this ongoing relationship with him as he expresses how God continues to work in his life. There needs to be a continuous flow of being amazed with God. There needs to be a continuous flow of realizing what he's done for you today and what he did for you yesterday. There needs to be a continuous flow of realizing how much he's forgiven me and how much he works on me to make him more like him. But that doesn't happen if I don't consistently walk with God. I know sharing our faith is scary, but what I'm talking about is not being held back by fear, but being held back by desire, right? Or maybe the lack of it. So I have no passion to share my faith, and I need to go and look back at my own walk with Jesus. Am I in love with my Savior? Right? Can I not stop talking about him because I'm so excited by all the things he's doing? And as we consistently experience Christ at work in us, it gives us the desire not only to see that change in ourselves, but also in others, right? Are there any CrossFitters here today? There's one at the back. Is that for real? No, it's not. It's hunger. I don't know if you've ever come across a CrossFitter and asked them what they do. Right? The passion that they tell you, right? The flats where I live at, beneath me there's a guy who is, I think he's number 7 in Africa, right? He's that level of CrossFit, right? He even competed in the games, right? He's a calm guy, but when he talks about CrossFit, he's on. He is on, right? And I don't blame him. He looks like he stepped out of a comic book, right? His muscles have muscles, right? But he very passionately, a very calm guy, but he talks about CrossFit, something changes. There's a sparkle in his eye, right? His true love is seen. And he loves it because he has this experience with CrossFit, right? He feels his fitness increase. He says he feels great. He doesn't feel stagnant. He loves that he does something different every day, and he's surprised every day. And I think that should be what my walk with Jesus should be like. Like every day I'm surprised. Oh God, you did that, right? God, you worked that out of me. God, you were able to make me love that person. You are incredible, right? And when we share from that place, it's more authentic, right? People follow passionate people, right? It's a passionate person that will convince you to do something. I, because of my neighbor downstairs, have considered going to CrossFit, right? Maybe if I was just a bit more energetic, I would be there, right? But alas, he is not. But he is passionate. So Paul is experiencing God work in his own life, right? But one thing that pushes him as well, I think would push us as well, is seeing Christ change other people's lives, right? The following verse, so that was Romans 1 verse 15. The next verse is saying, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile, right? When Paul is writing this, he's in Corinth, and this is near the end of his third missionary journey, right? So he's been at this for years. He's been coming to a place, sharing the gospel, leading people to Christ, and then walking with these people as they go and share their faith. He develops leaders, and they start a church. And when they're healthy, he leaves and goes on to the next place. Right? And he's been doing this again and again and again and again and again. So as he says this, this is someone who has seen the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit change the lives of people, right? Isn't it an incredible thing to watch people come to Christ? Have you ever been like being at a YWAP one day where we have the time where we're coming to commitments and people are giving their lives to Christ? That never gets old. One of my favorite things to watch, even on YouTube, is different testimonies, because I'm so intrigued and I'm so excited by the way God reaches out to different people, right? In many different ways. I've heard stories here in church that just encourage me and encourage me to want to go and share my faith as well. And often if we remove this part of our walk with Jesus, if we neglect it, often that's where we lose our passion. Because as we're doing God's work, he equips us, right? As the disciples were going in the book of Acts, you hear stories of people touching their clothing and being healed. But the focus for them was not that. The focus was people being saved by Christ, right? And as we go, as we do what he's commissioned us to do, God will do incredible things. And as we see those incredible things, we are given even more passion. We're given even more boldness. We're given even more love for our Christ as we say, oh, you are incredible that you love these people and you continue to draw people to yourself. Before I come to a place where I have that readiness and that eagerness, before I come to that, I need to come to a place where I'm in love with Christ and I'm in love with watching him do what he does best, which is save us. So that's the first part, getting to a place where we're eager. But he also says, Paul says, not only am I eager, I'm also ready. Right? I'm ready to go. Now I'll go back to the example of the tournament. And when we were watching the black belts, as they would get onto the mat, something would change, right? You just see their eyes go from, like they literally turn, laugh, and then they'd be here and it's just fighter mode. And they were just ready, right? And there wasn't, I'm sure they were nervous, but on the exterior, there's this calm, this strong, this calm strength. But they switched on, they were ready, right? And for the first minute, almost no one is getting hits in because they are so ready. Like they're just catching things. It's like a movie, right? What do I need to do to be ready? I need to stay ready all the time. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 to 16 says this. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. In 2 Timothy 2, it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Right? So we need to be ready. If we want to have that eagerness, that passion, that we need to prep ourselves. Now, before we would do the tournaments, we would do training sessions, and these would intensify. Right? So where we would have sessions where you could still breathe after 10 minutes, now you weren't breathing after 1 minute. Right? They were pushing us the 4 weeks before because they want us to be ready. Right? They were showing us combos we hadn't learned before, and we were drilling them again and again and again and again, and hoping that by the time we get there, we were second nature. It was second nature to us. I remember getting to the tournament and remembering the combos, and I was I was in a match with my cousin who had joined just a few months after me. And he was like, no, I'm not going to let these people tell me how to fight. It's in me, right? He had no kick combos, right? It was all punches. And the people at some point, they stopped the fight. So, listen, the combos we taught you, where are they? He's like, no, I've got it. He was not ready, right? He lost every match. But he decided, no, I'm going to do things my own way. God says, we need to be at a place where we're actually working hard. We need to learn God's word, right? And this is a huge thing. We're in a time where we have more access to God's word than ever before, but it seems our literacy of the Bible goes down more and more and more, right? I always think to myself, and I'm not saying I'm above anybody or I can't be fooled by anybody, but in this time, it should be more difficult to be led away into these random obscure cults, right? Information is everywhere, right? But even let's not even go as far as cults. Let's think of things like the prosperity gospel or how New Age is starting to intertwine with the church, right? Where we're taking on these things because they sound good. But if we spend our time reading God's word, we can see what is true and what is fake. It's a huge, huge thing. And it's a pleasure that we have. You know how crazy it is that we get to read words given to us by God himself? The one who made heaven and earth says, I want to reveal all these things to you. Right? If you would give me but 15 minutes, if you'd give me 30 minutes, right? If you'd give me an hour, I can reveal so much to you. And then when someone comes and asks you about me, you have all this scripture floating in your mind that you can snatch up. The Holy Spirit, in John chapter 17, we're told that one of the things that he does is he reminds us of all truth. He guides us in all truth, but he also reminds us, which tells me that I need to have read it to be reminded of it. I need to hear it to be reminded of it. And then, and again and again and again, I keep being shocked by all these people who are leaving the faith, right? A lot of worship leaders and famous pastors and ministers are leaving the faith because of small doctrines that they should have been taught in the very beginning, right? Like you'll find someone who has left the faith, has been a worship leader for 20 years and then leaves the faith because he doesn't understand why there's suffering in the world. When Jesus himself says, there will be suffering. You will, as a believer, you will experience suffering. I guarantee it. That could be avoided if we just study our word, if we just read our word. And not only study it, but also apply it to your life. As we apply the word to our lives, when someone asks us, we can tell them from a practical perspective, right? I can share about this truth the way God showed it to me, and I can show them how it has produced fruit in my life because I applied it. I need to learn God's word. I need to study it. I need to apply it to my life. I also need to learn how to share Christ, right? There are so many gospel presentations, so many. If you want some, we have them too, right? We will hand them over. Everything we have, we'll give you, right? There are so many gospel presentations, right? Want to learn how I can speak. When this person asks me this question, it's like, oh, that was that gospel presentation. That covers that really well. Or this person asks this, like, oh yeah, that one over there. And as I practice these things, I can combine them and use them. And I think of sharing the gospel like learning a language, right? When we're in pre-primary, we learn our letters, right? And all the different sounds. And then you learn to combine those letters to make words. And hopefully when you get to grade 12 and you write your creative writing essay, you're putting,
About the ocean,
yeah. Is this a foreshadowing of what's right? When you write this essay, you can string these words together in an artistic way, right? And our sharing of the gospel should be the same, that I should be learning all the time, and I should be learning not just from presentations, but from trying them out and realizing, with this person, that did not work, right? Let me go back with something else, right? And also, as I'm sharing the gospel, I'm also learning to rely on God, right? I remember the very first time I shared the gospel, it was terrifying. We're doing a discipleship course. This is the third week I'm in the discipleship course. We had cassettes that we took home. I even bought a small tape player with the headphones, like a Walkman, but not a Walkman. And so I was learning, and we're going through Matthew, and I was so excited by all the things we were learning. And then we would go to these discipleship classes, and when we would get there, in the middle of the day, we'd have this incredible meal. Right? We went two times. We had the meal, and then we'd go home. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. We get God's word. We get to talk about it. We get to eat good food, and then we get to go home and take a nap. Oh, perfect. Perfect Saturday. And then the third day we went, the third time we went, we think, okay, we've eaten our meal, starting to get sleepy now. And in that first lesson, the first hour of the day, they talked to us about sharing our faith. and they went through this gospel presentation. Now that day, I had not eaten because I woke up late. So all I was thinking about was the food that's coming, right? And I was not listening to the gospel presentation at all. And after lunch, they said, okay, now we're going to go to the middle of gardens in Cape Town, this giant park, and we're going to go and share our faith. And you're going to go in twos. You're going to go with someone who shared their faith before. And you go out and you share your faith. I'm thinking, okay, I didn't listen, but I'm with this guy. And he was one of the elders at the church. So we go out and he's sharing his faith. And he says, listen, at some point, I want you to stop following me and go and try and talk to somebody. Right? Because I'd been with him three times with three people as he shared his faith. And we came to the fourth one and I was still next to him. And he's looking at me like, go away, please. Go to those people, right? If he could, he would have done this. And so he looks at two girls and he says, he signals like, yeah, go there. And so I walk over to these two girls, not knowing what to say. And I start like, hey, have you heard about Jesus? And the one girl says, yeah, I have. I don't follow him. I say, why not? Well, my dad is a pastor. I've read the Bible many times. I know what you're going to say, so there's no use. So I say, you know, God loves you so very much. And she says, by the way, this is my girlfriend. What does God say about that? So here I am as a brand new believer thinking, why? And I look over the other guy. He's just having a great time. You see him waving his arms and explaining things. You can see everything is going smoothly. Even the people, they're like just sitting and they're just captured by what he's saying. And I'm sitting here in this distress. And there I remember one of the teachers in the first session saying, if you don't know what to say, pray in your mind, right? Pray frantically, ask Jesus, please, please help me. And I'm just saying this. I'm saying this over and over and over and over and over again. And I feel like nothing is coming. Like, please, this is getting worse. And she's just attacking every single point that I bring out that I tried to remember from the lesson I wasn't listening to. Right? Everything shut down, shut down, shut down, shut down. And then this wisdom comes out of my mouth that I knew was not me. I knew it wasn't me at all. But I say, you know what? Maybe your reading of the Bible was not for yourself, that you never experienced God because you were forced to. You were a church, your father's a pastor. This is something you had to do. Maybe you need to spend some time getting to know who God is to you and for him to explain how much he loves you and cares for you. And she goes, I think that's a good idea. And I'll do that. And I just thought to myself, what is happening to me? But I knew it was the Spirit. And I was encouraged in that moment that I know every time I go out and I share my faith, the Holy Spirit will be with me. And when I'm stuck, he will speak, right? And even if I have a time where I share with someone and nothing happens, he will work anyways. I was doing a gospel presentation years ago here at YWAP, and there was this girl, Eva, who was with us. And she was sitting close to the back on that side with a friend. And after I did the presentation, she walked up to the front with anger. And she said, I don't believe a thing you're saying. I think this stuff is all fake. So we sit for almost an hour talking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I'm like, God, what's happening, right? I said that wise thing to those people years ago when I was a new believer. And now I'm being defeated by a 16-year-old? And I just tried and tried and tried. And I was praying and I would get things to say and she'd just shoot it down. And so I just gave it to God. And the very next week, I think Brian preached and she gave her life to Christ. Right? That the Holy Spirit will work through me or without me. Right? Or he might work through me and I won't know. Right? But I can trust him. Right? And as I share my faith, as I take time learning and sharing, I trust in him more. Every time I've shared my faith, whether it's been a good experience or not, every time I've walked away with a joy and a peace, knowing I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do. So whether it's good or bad, I can trust that God will do what he'll do with my little that I bring. So that's being, we need to be ready. We need to be eager. We need to be ready. And one of the easy things to do, because you might hear this and go, okay, I have not studied like that. I don't know gospel presentations. I can't do that. I can't do this. But God, as Jesus was telling his disciples, go and make disciples. These weren't people who had studied, right? These were fishermen and tax collectors, and throw in a Pharisee there, right? But these weren't people who spent time studying. I don't think they even knew that Christ was going to go when he went. They were not ready, but the Holy Spirit gave them words. And more than that, and one thing that continues to be powerful, whether you studied or not, is your own experience with God. And I sharing our testimony, but what I like is what we call a continuous testimony, right? That as I walk with God, I can continue to share things with people that God is doing. Like someone I shared the gospel with, and perhaps they've rejected it, and they ask, hey, how are you doing? It's like, oh, I'm doing well. God has been showing me this or this, or I'm not doing well, but God has been my comfort. Or I was struggling with this, and God helped me with this and with this and with this and with this. Right? As we walk with Christ, we have so much to share, and we need to learn. And this is an easy thing to do. Look for gaps, right? Look for a moment when you can share with someone what God has done for you. I had so many conversations when I was getting married. I had a few friends and a few cousins who were baffled by the idea of getting married. Like, you're going to get married when they're all these ladies in this world? What is wrong with you? And I would get, and I would see that as an opportunity. Oh, I'm doing this because this is how Jesus has led me to look at relationships and to look at marriage. And then I'll just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and somewhere get to a gospel presentation and then come back to that. Right? In every situation, as we walk with people who are not following Christ, in every area of life, because God changes and redeems every area of our lives. He redeems our work. He redeems the way we speak. He redeems the way we think about things. He redeems the way we love people. So as he's redeeming those things, we can go every day, we should have a story to tell. Or God is working on me with this. Or I am really wrestling with this. This is my sin, and God is telling me this, and I'm wrestling because I know he's worthy, but I'm wrestling here. Because it's also good to be honest as well, right? That's what we're called to do. I think we need to get into the practice, and I want to challenge us all this week to share something that God is doing for you right now, right? Because even if you don't have a gospel presentation then, God is using that to spark an interest in that person. Who is this God that is keeping this person calm as we're in this crazy meeting and everyone is losing their cool, right? Who is this God that is continuing to give this person joy in the face of tremendous loss, right? Who is this God who is helping this person to love this person that we all hate? Who is this God who is strengthening this person to stand in truth when there's corruption all around? And we get moments to speak. So I want to challenge us all to look for those moments where I can share with this person. Like as we're talking about this, so we're talking about work, how is God empowering me, strengthening me, changing me there? The person talks about family issues. How is God helping me to see family? If someone is struggling, or you're struggling, you can still share with them, I'm struggling with this, but my God is walking through this with me daily. Let's get into the habit of doing that. But I want us to spend some time praying, and each of us know where we are. Ask yourself this question and ask God to clarify this in your heart. God, am I eager to share your gospel? Am I eager Am I ready? Am I filled with passion for your work? And ask him to change that in you. If maybe you aren't walking with him, maybe spend some time just saying to God, God, I'm not where I should be, but I want to love you like that again. Right? Revelations, where one of the churches is told that their sin is forgetting the first love, the way that they love their Jesus. Maybe you're there. Jesus, I don't feel like sharing because I don't feel that connected to you. Change my heart there. If it's that, yes, I'm connected to you, but I don't take studying your word seriously, learning how to share your gospel seriously. God, convict me and let me now walk and follow you with that. Ask God to show you, to give you opportunities, to show you where the opportunities are to share your continuous testimony, to share what God is doing right here and right now. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for how you tirelessly worked, sharing the truth and bringing people to a knowledge of you. We thank you for how you spent time with people, how you sat with people, how you reasoned with people, how you spoke to people in truth and in love. Thank you, Jesus, for the way that you reached out to us, that there was somebody that obeyed, someone that was passionate about you, someone that loved you, someone that has seen how you worked in their lives and wanted us to have that. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that you reveal yourself to us, God of heaven and earth. God, I pray that we would get into your word and be filled with awe and with wonder at your greatness, at your kindness, at your might, at your love, at your compassion. God, that as we read, we're so gripped by that we have to share it with somebody. I pray, Jesus, that we would take time to learn how to share your truth with others. This is the most important message we can give to somebody. God, remind us to be diligent. And God, remind us of the joy that we experience when we see you changing the lives of others. And what a joy to be used by you to bring others to you. Jesus, I pray that as we experience you daily, as we experience how you're changing our lives, how you're molding us and shaping us to your image, how you're making us more and more like you, that we would share that with others. Jesus, bring us to a place where we're looking for opportunities. Like Paul said, like where we're eager, where we're ready, where we are filled with a passion to follow you and to bring people to following you. Jesus, thank you for the blessing that we have of being called to do things you could do yourself, but giving us the pleasure of having us walk alongside you. Thank you, God, that you walk alongside us even though we mess up, even though sometimes we are a bad look for you. You continue to kindly and graciously pull us alongside you to do your work. So, Jesus, I pray that we would not at all miss the opportunity and the pleasure to be able to do that with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.